coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
Sorry, I can't hang out. Me and the old lady are having some uninterrupted ding.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
That sounds foul.
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. And I ain't talking about the holidays. I'm talking about a new episode of Huntsville Home Video, baby.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
That was amazing. I was about to do explosions and shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I missed out on the explosions.
You know what? We didn't coordinate. It's fine.
I mean, do we ever?
No.
I mean, we almost kind of half coordinated. You got your Adidas track pants. I got my Adidas track jacket.
Oh my gosh, we make one whole outfit.
We do.
We do. I didn't even realize that till you just said it. Yep.
We are classy. And we are kicking off Christmas movie month here on Huntsville Home Video. My name is Jack Spade. Across from me, Leanne Foster. How are you, friend?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm good. Ready to spread some holiday cheer.
Fuck yeah, I am.
God, I fucking hate Christmas. Jesus.
You know, this one's been a better one for me, surprisingly.
Yeah? Off to a good start?
I'm not as bah humbug as I usually would be at this point in the month. Now, that's not to say I won't get there next week, but...
Now, is that because you have a trip coming up?
Well, that maybe. That's why I'm in a good mood.
Okay.
Yeah, we're recording early because your girl's going to Universal Studios.
So jealous.
Doing the overnight Orlando Informer. Where it's pretty much every ride a walk-on.
Informer. I let you boom boom down. Every time you say it's the Orlando Informer, and you've said that to me for the last 3 months, that triggers in my head.
I didn't even know that was happening.
And it happened, and now I just had to get that out, and now I feel better.
Now, while I'm there, every time I see the Orlando Informer sign, I'm going to be like, Orlando Informer!
Yep. You're welcome for that one, Baker's Dozen.
That's
enjoy that earworm on a Monday.
God dang it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So by this time, I will have ridden the Velocicoaster.
Oh, my
week.
God. I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
I want to go on the Velocicoaster.
I'm scared of it.
Don't be
I'm
scared.
I'm not going to lie.
Don't be scared.
I've only been on one ride that goes upside down. So now I gotta do all of them now.
Exactly. That's how it starts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'm a little scared.
I think you'll be fine.
I think once I conquer the Hulk, I'll be fine. Like I know I'm good.
Yeah, the Hulk is just like a violent roller coaster. That's just like a loud,
right,
fast turning. Like it.
I've heard it bangs your head around a little. Like you gotta be. That's okay. I'm super stiff. You should see me on a roller coaster. I'm just like feet are pushing against whatever. I'm pulling onto the thing, and my head is as far back as it could go. I'm like. Like, I don't move.
God.
Like, my muscles hurt at the end of a ride.
One of the last times my wife and I went to Universal Studios, we were on the Hulk coaster. We were on a VIP tour, and the people that were in our group were from the UK,
uh-huh.
And they'd never been to the States before. They're hitting, like, all these theme parks or whatever. And we're on the Hulk coaster, and right before it takes off, like we're all strapped in, we're waiting for the cue to, you know, fire off or whatever. The woman in our group goes to Rachel, "Oh, you know, over in the UK, we had a roller coaster, and a young lady about your size was jettisoned from the roller coaster."
Jettisoned.
And then it just fucking took off with Rachel going, "Ah!" Like, I'm not going to lie to you, that British bitch ruined the whole fucking thing for me.
That British bitch.
Why would you tell that to someone?
That's terrible.
I'm like, I don't know, because they're from the UK and it's the polite thing to do.
Right. Just so you know, you might die.
Yeah.
Don't be alarmed if you fly out.
Not to put a damper on your proceedings, but you might be thrown from this cart.
Your body might be... Oh, God. That is awful.
Right? Spoilers, Rachel made it out alive.
She is alive.
She is still with us today. Fine. Looking forward to another trip to Universal, hit on some roller coasters.
We gotta plan a trip
Mm-hmm. Universal at Christmas is a fun time, too. We were there, the last time we were there was during the holidays. We did dinner with the Grinch, or breakfast with the Grinch.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they still offer that?
They do. I don't know if they're, yes, they do offer breakfast with the Grinch.
Totally worth it.
And you can do meet and greet still and stuff like that. He's a good Grinch. I like him.
Uh-huh.
I like a Jim Carrey Grinch. Okay.
Yeah,
and that's what he is.
Yep.
It's my fave.
Very good. Like, so have you seen any video or ever been around that Grinch?
I've seen some video of him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super good. Like, stays in character the whole time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I did see him like sort of break character. Cause like when we were in line to meet him, the person in front of us, was like a woman with her son was like special needs, and he got a little nervous around him.
Uh-huh.
So it's like he still had the voice, but then he just kind of like knelt down. He's like, "Hey, what are you doing, kid? It's not right." That's a horrible fucking Grinch voice.
That was Jersey.
That was, yeah.
That was not the Grinch.
Whatever. But he's just like, you know, he's just like talking to the kid, you know, like trying to put him at
being
ease,
gentle.
You know, not make him scared.
Yeah.
And then like, and then the kid, you know, gets his pictures and he goes away. And I'm like, that was super sweet, Grinch. And he's like, "Shut up. What do you want?" And just like right back into it.
He's like, that's perfect.
He's like, "Let's take this stupid picture. Don't smile like a fucking dweeb."
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, top marks, Grinch.
Mm-hmm. I like him.
Well done. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the plans. That's probably why I'm in the Christmas spirit. And
all
then
right.
As soon as I get back, I'll be just as miserable as you.
Yep. Yeah. Welcome to my life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you pull me down eventually.
I mean, with everyone.
Yeah.
It's everyone that like gets into the inner circle. I'm like, okay, you're here. Let's go to hell. Come on. Get on my level.
You're
my
just
level.
Swirling us down.
My level subterranean.
Christmas is just a rough one.
Yeah.
It's just a rough one when you become an adult.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody's fault other than life.
Right.
Yeah.
Just grinding you down.
But we're not here to be down today.
No.
Yes.
No. We're doing a little program change today.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we did talk about, you know, we are kicking off the holiday movies. We were going to talk about A Christmas Story, which came out on HBO Max. We're going to do that next week
because
something more important came out this week.
We called an audible.
We sure did. Because I honestly thought this movie that we're about to talk about came out next week in theaters. Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness for me.
Leanne Foster saving the day as she always does.
The one time I knew something about something that you didn't.
I mean, there's been more times than that.
No, not really.
There has.
No.
Don't sell yourself short.
Incorrect.
But you're like, hey, we wanted to see Violent Night, and that came out this week. We should go see this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. So in a rare instance of Huntsville Home Video, yep, both of us had not seen this movie.
Correct.
We went into this movie.
We went to the theater to see it.
Went to the theater.
We went to a theater in the early morning to watch a violent Christmas movie.
Which is the best time to go to the theater.
Because there was nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
There was hardly anyone there. It was great. We didn't have to wait in line for popcorn or anything.
Nah, 10:30 on a Saturday morning. If you want to go see a movie, that is the time to do it.
It's a jam.
It is
my new MO from now on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I liked how when we were texting back and forth, you're like, when do you want to do this? Like 10:30, just knock it out. And I'm like, yep, that's the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you were just like, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
I didn't really care to do 10:30, but I was like, knowing Jack, he probably wants to do the early one. Let's get it out of the way. That's why I went ahead and suggested it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, glad we did this. Now I see. Now I understand.
Just showing you the great things of life, Leanne.
I know.
I show you the great movies. I teach you when to go to the movies.
The great soul avoider.
Yes. Yup. How can I avoid as many people as humanly possible and maximizing my joy of the experience? Go as early as possible.
Yep. Also, popcorn that early in the day is actually kind of fun.
Yeah. Popcorn and Reese's Pieces for breakfast.
The best.
Jam.
First of all, that's the best combo
mm-hmm.
in the theater.
Yep.
Fuck a M&M. Give me a Reese's and a popcorn.
M&M's ain't shit.
The best.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Do you dump the Reese's Pieces into the popcorn, or you keep them separate?
I keep them separate.
I keep them separate.
Because I want to control how I ratio them.
Hell,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I might just want one and one. Sometimes I might want two Reese's to one popcorn. I don't know.
I love the science here. And I'm with it. I support it 100%.
Thank you.
Sometimes you want more salty. Sometimes you want more sweet.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that mood will change at any time.
From bite to bite.
From bite to bite. You might experiment around and be like, oh, here's the ratio I'm in for today.
Yep.
But you can't do that if you've dumped everything. Also, they're going to fall to the bottom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
And that's the worst because then you're like digging through like, oh, I didn't get a bite.
It's a mess.
And then by the bottom, you're just like, I don't want to finish all this, but I know there's fucking Reese's Pieces down there.
They're down there.
I got to get to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So no, I like to combine foods on my terms.
Yes.
I want everything separate and then I will mix.
100%.
Yeah. That's who I am.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that train of thought. So, we went early Saturday morning. We went to go see I'm going to throw it out there. Holiday classic. Instant holiday classic. We're going to talk about Violent Night today. So if you don't want to know anything about this movie, get out of here. Come back after you've seen it because we are gonna go into spoilers. We're going to talk about it. I know the movie just came out, but we wanted to hit it up while it's fresh. We wanted to talk about it. And so, there will be spoilers, so avoid that. Come back with us later in the week if you want to go see it. But I will say I highly recommend going to check it out. Leanne Foster, what do you think about Violent Night?
I highly recommend you to check it out as well, and it will also be a holiday classic for me. And we mentioned when we walked out of the theater, you were like, that's an every Christmas movie. And I was like, that is an every Christmas movie. Every year I'm breaking that thing out. And even Christmas in July.
Yep.
Fucking amazing. It's so good. It was everything we wanted it and needed it to be.
It was more than I thought it was going to be.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was going to be dumb but fun.
Right.
It was fucking awesome.
Well, how did you hear people describe it?
So one of the blurbs that I read was it's Die Hard meets Miracle on 34th Street.
And it's the most accurate description ever.
Ever. In fact,
that's what it is.
After seeing the movie, I have started saying it is like they remade Die Hard 2 and took John McClane out and put Santa Claus in.
Right.
It is fucking perfect.
It's so good. It is perfect.
It is a great holiday movie. It is a great action movie. Mm-hmm. It's got action. It's got some of that holiday sentimentality.
Yes. It's got some good amount of, I wouldn't call it gore, but there's a good amount of.
So yeah.
We see some blood. We see some.
You know what that is? You know where that's from? From them John Wick boys.
Oh, no shit.
Some of the John Wick team is a part of this.
Holy fucking shit.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That checks.
So you get that. Like, this is a movie that could have been, like, if they didn't get the tone right, it could have been real fucking stupid.
Right.
Real dumb.
But that David Harbour Santa was on point.
Dude, David Harbour, as the kids on the internet say, understood the assignment.
He did.
Like,
I love him.
My God, was he awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You see him. Now, he is, I've seen a couple people mention this, like a couple people thought, based on the trailers, that he wasn't really Santa. Like, he was just a guy in a Santa suit. He was at this thing, and that's like kind of where the Die Hard comparison or one comes in or whatever.
Right.
But he is Santa Claus.
He is Santa Claus. Now, okay, if you haven't left because of the spoilers, you should probably go now. We're good. Go. Are you done? Did you leave? Okay, good.
Welcome.
Yes, he's actually Santa.
Yes. We
who's very down on his luck.
Very, very down. We see him in the opening scene. He's in the bar. He's drowning his sorrows on Christmas Eve.
And that just, we get close up on his beard and just the beer and all the shit in his beard. Yeah. Just, frankly, the kids want games and gift cards.
Like, immediately, right off the bat, I'm just like, holy shit, I'm with this Santa Claus. I hate kids. They're greedy. They're fucking pieces of shit.
Yep.
Get them out of here. I don't want to give them presents either.
Oh, my God. It's so good. And then, of course, he's mistaken as like a mall Santa or whatever. But no, he's truly Santa. And I love the... So he decides to leave. And then when he flies by, that's one of my favorite scenes in the beginning. So he leaves, and the bartender figures out that he's really Santa. And then when he flies back and he just pukes all over that bitch on the roof, he's a mess. Santa's a mess in this story.
That happens in literally the first 10 minutes of the movie, and then they cut to the opening credits.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as he horks over the side of the sleigh, and it just lands, like just rains down Santa vomit on that poor bartender, I was like, I'm in for this movie. I am 100% in for this movie.
You said it out loud, and I was just, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We were like, mm-hmm.
This was a very vocal movie. There was a lot of, yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Or, oh, shit.
The only thing that I had wished, it was a great theater experience because there were people. Also, did you notice the child next to me?
I did.
The family. I don't know if there was a wife. I couldn't see. But I know there was a father and a child next to me.
There was a father and two children.
There were two?
He had two of them with him.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. My only wish was that the theater had been a little fuller. Because I feel like that it would have been a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
But there were still people were vocal during the movie. So that was good.
And this is a movie that could have gone either way because people like us would have been that loud, vocal, reactive crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people might go into this and just fucking hate it.
Right.
And we don't want those people around.
I don't know why. I don't know why you would hate it.
I don't either.
I mean, it's called Violent Night and it lives up to everything that it's supposed to be.
What would you be expecting? I don't know.
Damn it.
God, this movie was so good.
Uh-huh.
I left with the biggest, dumbest smile on my face when this movie was over, and I just wanted to see it again.
I know. I might go back today.
Yep.
I'm debating it, to be honest.
I was thinking when we wrap this up, if we have time, if I can squeeze a showing in, I might go check this out again. It is that good.
I don't blame you.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. So good.
Yeah, we got, like I said, we got great action bits. We got, if you like the holiday sentimental crap, that's in there too.
They don't overdo it, I don't feel like, and it's good. It had a good message to it. It was really good.
Even as much as I dislike the holiday season,
right,
and I don't like the standard holiday flicks of like, oh no, Billy's not gonna have a Christmas, but wait, like just that the tropes of all those holiday movies, like how they did the sentiment in this movie.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Yeah,
it was so good.
Did your heart grow two sizes yesterday?
It did, and I should probably see a cardiologist about that because that's not normal.
That's because of all the milkshakes from the yard.
Yeah, right. It's because of all the popcorn and Reese's Pieces I've been eating.
At 10:30 a.m.
For breakfast. Yeah.
It's not a part of a balanced breakfast, Jack.
No, I mean, you know, I'm sure something from the food pyramid is on there.
Oh, exactly. Everything's on there,
yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Wash that down with a cherry Coke. Mwah.
Yeah, I love a cherry Coke, by the way.
A theater cherry Coke. I don't get like a bottle of cherry Coke, not a can of cherry
Coke. Not as good as a fountain.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
There's something about a fountain cherry Coke,
mm-hmm,
or one that they actually make together. Oh, yeah, it's a jam.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, you want to get into the movie?
Let's get into the movie.
So we see Santa down on his luck at the beginning, right? We do that. Then we meet our main family and the main kid, Trudy. I think she's the only one I remembered her name.
Yeah.
Is that the kid?
Well, yeah, there was that kid. And then we'll get into him when we meet the other family. But one of the other kid's name fucking cracked me up.
The social media kid?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't remember. Okay, we'll get to that. So we meet our family in the film. We meet our main kid. Her mom and dad are split up, but they're going to be together for Christmas. And he comes from a family full of assholes.
Yep, to put it lightly.
To put it lightly. They're them rich motherfucking assholes. Beverly D'Angelo is the matriarch of the family.
Nice to see her in a Christmas movie
it
again.
It is nice, but what the fuck happened to her voice? Cigarettes. Holy fucking shit. Like, I don't care if you smoke, but like, she just sounds like this for the entire movie.
That is a woman who has survived on cigarettes and Botox for the last 40 years.
She's not that bad in the face, but she's not quite right.
Right.
She got that look.
Yeah,
you know.
She do.
But it
she
was, do. It was, it took me a minute to realize it was her. But anyways, What was the name of the social media kid?
So there's a argument because the whole family, like you said, hates each
other. The sister is a major bitch who's dating this wannabe actor, right? Who's just mooching off of her. And she, the son, Jason, who is Trudy's father, he's like the gold. They keep calling him the golden son. Like he works for the company, and the sister is mad because she's like, "I want everything. I'm gonna get everything."
Yeah, just
from
like
mom.
The gold digging sister.
Exactly. And then the sister has a son who is the content creator of the family.
Yeah, he's just this like social media douche, like a typical douchey teenager. But so since the sister sucks up to the mom so much, the sister the mom's name is Gertrude. And they named the son Bertrude.
That's right. I forgot.
Because they named the daughter, Jason named his daughter Gertrude, but they call her Trudy now. Mm-hmm. And then to not lose any suck up points, the daughter named her son Bertrude.
Bertrude, which isn't even a name.
No, they just made that shit up.
Yeah, that's the kind of family that we're talking about here with this whatever. So
I did like when the grandson shows up and he's got his phone in his face and he's
got
on,
a gold chain.
Got a gold chain.
Like he's trying to be hip and talk.
And he's doing like an Instagram live for his followers and you're just disgusted reaction. Out loud,
theater.
You're just like, "Ugh, fucking content creator." Bleh.
I hate it. I hate that term. And that's what it is.
That's what we are.
Blah, blah.
when I explain to you that you and I are content creators, you're like, "Oh God, we are. It's dirty." Mm-hmm.
No. I don't like this business. Dude, fuck that kid. He was terrible.
He was a dude.
But he was so accurate. He was so accurate.
Yeah.
Which was what is infuriating.
I love when he's doing his little live or whatever, and he's just like, "Yo, this is how you spend the holidays. Check out these surroundings. Check out the tree. Check out all the presents. Hashtag blessed." Oh my God, I hate you.
I hate it. That's why I'm not downloading TikTok.
Oh.
Fuck the talk.
There's so much better on TikTok, though.
Whatever. So we meet this family, and we know they're about to be robbed because there's a vault full of $300 million that they... Was it $300
million? It's $300 million, yep.
$300 fucking million. We find out that it's been hidden, and the robbers are posing as the security staff in the home, and I love their names. They all have holiday names like Peppermint and Scrooge and Sugar Cookie.
Gingerbread.
Yes. Very good. I like. They're so serious, but they were great. And so Santa gets to this home as this robbery begins. He's hanging out. He gets to the cookies and he realizes he's like, "Oh, these are homemade." So he takes it, he pours out the milk and he pours him some whiskey and he's sitting and then he gets in the massage chair.
Just loving Santa's that massage chair.
Loving the massage chair. And it's super cute. And then eventually he's found by one of the robbers. They fight and fall out. I don't know if it's this time or I think it might be later, but there's a lot of fighting with Santa and some of the robbers here. There's one particular kill. Well, not kill, but I really love. Is this where he gets the star or is it later on in the movie?
No, that was later on.
It's later on in the game room or something.
I can't remember.
I can't quite place it. Okay.
This first one is where they both go out the window.
They both go out the window. Like they're like, and here's the thing. I've never seen more of a festive fight choreography in my life. Like
right? They're
using, you know, Christmas lights and Christmas ornaments and things like that to strangle and hit and stuff. It's hilarious. Like just that alone is so good.
If that doesn't put you in the holiday spirit,
right?
I don't know what will.
We've all envisioned strangling a family member with some lit Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Haven't we?
And if not, I mean, this movie could teach you about possible holiday survival skills.
100%.
Were an intruder to descend upon your home. And
it could happen anytime.
It could. And you say to yourself, "I just saw Violent Night starring David Harbour as Santa Claus. I'm going to choke this intruder to death with these lights.
Exactly.
Throw him out a window.
It can be done. Let him land on an ice sculpture thing.
Oh, man.
That was cool.
Brutal.
It's like these, I don't know if they were like ice trees or they were pointy things, and it and he just falls out and he lands on that.
Just
and
impales him. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so good. So anyways, they fight. They fall out of the window together. That's when, I think this is when Santa loses his reindeer. They fly off at some point and they take the sleigh. So now Santa is stuck. And he's going to save the family. He's going to get his Christmas spirit back, and he's going to save the family.
Well, he doesn't immediately think that.
No, he runs off, but then he sees Trudy, and then he is talking to her through. So she never got to see Santa because he and the mom are going through a divorce or whatever. So she gets a walkie-talkie from her dad, and he says, now, he may not answer you, but this is a walkie-talkie to Santa. Well, then Santa ends up getting a walkie-talkie from the robbers, and so they're able to talk to each other. And that's how he decides he's going to save Trudy, right?
Yep. Yeah. They have a couple conversations and stuff, right. Which I'm just like...
She's a cute, sweet girl.
She is. And when she actually starts talking with Santa, I'm like, okay, this is clever.
Yeah.
I like how they're doing this.
Uh-huh.
This
worked out.
This movie, you know, like we said earlier in some of the descriptions, some of the reviews, they say it's like Die Hard meets Miracle on 34th Street. There's a lot of Die Hard love in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the action beats are very Die Hard. Some of the plot points very much Die Hard. Even like once they kind of get the walkie-talkies to communicate back and forth,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm loving where this is going. They even have, so Santa has this sack, Santa's sack, obviously, and he just reaches in and pulls out presents.
Yes.
And he actually, at one point, uses them as a defense mechanism as he's pulling out random presents. He's like, God, someone's got to want a sword for Christmas, right?
It's just video game. Yeah. Video game.
Die Hard on Blu-ray. Throws that
which
away.
Was brilliant.
Which was fucking so
brilliant.
Great. Like, every moment in which I was like, I love this movie. I'm on board. I like this. Uh-huh. I like that. I'm still on board. Ooh, I like this even more. And then it's like, oh, Die Hard on Blu-ray. I'm like, fucking brilliant. That's meta as fuck.
Everybody knew what they were doing in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So good. So anyways, this is when he realizes he's going to fix the family. He has to fix himself up. He has to stitch his own wound. David Harbour has to disrobe. And even that Santa body's good. This is a tatted Santa.
I wasn't expecting that.
No.
We get a little bit of Santa backstory throughout the movie as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, when he's got to do the cliched action hero, has to suture his own wound, solder his own wound. And
he does that with, doesn't he take the hook off of the ornament and uses that as the thing? And like, there was something else Christmassy to it. So it was really good.
But he gets in and he takes off his Santa garb and he's just covered in these Celtic tats.
Oh.
And Leanne next to me is just like, rawr.
I'll take David Harbour anyway, shape or form.
Like, settle down now.
I'll take that Santa body any day. It's still good.
But here, have some of this cherry Coke because you're thirsty.
Yeah, so we see him.
But not to sidetrack, but like, did you also notice, like, in addition to all the Celtic tats, like, he was scarred up. Like,
he was scarred up.
I was like, oh shit, it's a badass Santa.
Right. Well, like, he was a fucking warrior back in the day.
And that's what we find out before he was Santa Claus. We get a little bit of backstory where he was like some Celtic raider.
Was it Skull Crusher?
Yeah, this hammer.
He had a hammer and he used it well. Mm-hmm. And it was called Skull Crusher. What was it? He'd like line three up at a time and flip.
Yeah.
Yep. He was good with his hammer. Yeah, so we get that we get that backstory, but also it is very vague because he's like, I don't know how it works. I don't know how long I've been doing this.
Which I thought was funny as shit.
Hilarious.
Even
at the end with the ending, which we'll get there, but it's like, I don't really know how it all works.
Yeah, there are several times throughout the movie where someone just tries to explain a gap in logic.
Mm-hmm.
And in a movie that may have been done in different hands, they might have tried to explain that.
Right.
But literally from Santa himself, like when he's pulling presents out of this, what looks like a half full sack, and they're pulling out like 90, 100 presents.
Right.
And he's just like, I don't know how it works.
Right.
It's Christmas magic. I'm not really sure.
And that's all you need to know.
And that's it. I didn't question it.
And how much did you, that is one thing that I thought about when I got home. How much does that resonate with you and your life? Like, I sit and think about it. I'm like, how many things do I do? And I'm like, I don't know why it works that way. It just does. Even at my job, I don't really even understand how radio works. I still don't even get it. I don't understand faxes. It just happens.
Yep.
I don't fucking get it.
No.
That's literally my whole life. I'm like, I don't know how it works. It's just what we do.
And there are things that you can do that you are so confident in that you don't even think about.
Right.
But then if you were asked how to do them, you're like, oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Jesus, never thought about that.
Well, I turned my computer on, I think. It's hilarious.
Yep.
That was so perfect. That's all I needed from that movie.
And like I said, didn't question it at all. I was just like, it's coming from Santa himself. Santa says, I don't fucking know.
And it's like Santa got stuck in this job somehow. Like, oh my gosh, he just got stuck into this thing and he's just been rolling with it, which I appreciate. It was so relatable.
Like at one point, Homie used to be some sort of Celtic raider just smashing villages with this giant hammer.
Yeah.
And now he's giving presents to kids.
Yeah.
And hates most of them.
And that's how life works. That's how it be sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not inaccurate at all.
Nope. It fucking works.
It fucking works. Ugh. So anyways, so where are we at? So he fixes himself up. We get that of the Skull Crusher. And eventually it comes to light that this family has a kill squad because they're currently just sitting in the living room. They're being guarded while we're trying to open up this vault that's got $300 million in it, correct? So we get this kill squad that comes out whenever this family's in any kind of trouble. Unfortunately, there's a twisty twist. They are not the good guys.
Saw that shit coming.
You did. I didn't. But I kept thinking, I was like, wow, you know, if they're supposed to be a kill squad, like they are not covert at all. Like, what are they just going to run up on snowmobiles? Like, this is ridiculous. It's because they don't have to hide and they don't have to have any cover.
Well, like I told you after the movie, it was like, yeah, they did that shit in Die Hard 2.
See, I've seen Die Hard 2, but I can't place it together. I can't remember which one's which.
Because even when there's a couple, like there's a great scene in Die Hard 2 where McClane is fighting this dude and he just pulls an icicle off a thing and stabs a dude in the eye.
Right.
I'm like, oh, they did that shit in Die Hard 2 because they do that in Violent Night.
They do.
And it's like so many, like I love Die Hard and I think Die Hard 2 gets shit on. Obviously not as good as the original, but still a really good movie. I think more people should put references to Die Hard 2 in things. And they did in this one.
Okay, I'm sorry that I'm about to ask this.
Okay.
But you know how I am. I can't keep everything straight in this small brain that I have. Which is the one with Samuel L. Jackson?
That's Die Hard with a Vengeance. That's the third
one. That's the third. Okay, I can't place the second one.
Second one is where they're at the airport and McClane's trying to like get his flight.
Oh.
And then you've got this general that like turns and hijacks all the airplanes, and he's gonna start he hijacks a tower or a little base like next to the control tower, taps into the communications and is keeping all the planes circling, and he's gonna start crashing them unless his demands are met.
Yes.
And then they send in like this government, you know, like wet work squad, and it turns out they're really working with the colonel, and it's big heel turn, and it's like, oh fuck, that coming. So as soon as the kill squad showed up dressed exactly like the dudes from Die Hard 2, I'm like,
God,
these dudes are not, they're not on the up and up.
That's amazing.
Those are some bad men.
Okay, well, I vaguely remember that plot.
Even when the kill squad in Violent Night is introduced and they've got the loudmouthed dude running the show, and he's like, all right boys, this operation is, it needs to be how I fuck quick. Okay. What do you say? Like hard, fast, and not a lot of cleanup.
Yes. Yep.
He's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's turning.
That does sound like a bad guy thing to say out loud. Yes. So the kill squad comes in. They are working for the robbers, and they're in on the shit. Then they see Santa on the roof, and they shoot at him. Oh no! And they get him cornered. Don't they get him cornered into like this barn or the shed?
Yep.
Okay. Fortunately, Santa comes upon a sledgehammer.
Holy shit.
And holy shit, does he do some fucking work.
Y'all, this scene.
And it goes on, and it's great.
And instead of having a big, like, loud, booming action score or a rock and roll soundtrack, it's like a fucking, just a completely opposite end of the spectrum Christmas jam.
I love violence to a happy tune. It's one of my favorite. It's been done and done and done. But every time I experience it, I'm like, this is amazing.
And they did the fights, the kills in this. It's not John Wick level choreography. There's not like a lot of like martial arts and gunplay and all this. It's just Santa Claus beating dudes with a sledgehammer in violent, brutal ways. And then he does something that is, it's already in the top 10 greatest things to ever happen in cinema to me. Because earlier in the movie, when he's getting the cookies and he brings one of those like big thick candy canes.
She left it for him.
She left it for Santa, and he put it in his pocket. So before the fight even starts, he puts the candy cane in his mouth.
Yes.
And then starts taking these dudes out with sledgehammers. And then at one point, midway through the fight, pulls the candy cane out of his mouth. He's been sucking on it and like sucked it down to a shiv.
We both were in the, we were like, oh, he made a shiv.
We were fucking applauding. We were almost on our feet.
We were the loudest ones in the theater. It felt 100%. Like, for sure.
Santa just starts murking dudes with a pointy candy cane, like jabbing. We're talking like neck, like jugular shots.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
Slicing and dicing with this makeshift candy cane shiv. Oh my God.
Oh my God. It was amazing.
That was holiday magic.
It was holiday magic. That's what Christmas means to me.
Oh, dude. I even, in my head, I was like, they could horribly stick the landing on this movie and it would still be good. And that's a big no-no for me. If you've got a great movie for 99 minutes and that last 2 minutes is dog shit, I'm like, fuck it.
You've
undone everything you could possibly do.
Right.
I think no matter how bad they mishandled the ending, which they didn't in this movie, but if they did, like that candy cane shiv alone, I'm like, okay.
You would have watched the movie multiple times up to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Or that scene.
But that whole sequence, it's about a three and a half, 4 minute just Santa sledgehammers to knees.
And like you said, it is like this guy, I mean, it was choreographed perfectly as far as like, it's this guy who like remembers who he used to be like 1100 years ago. And he's just like taking care of business.
Another thing that they did that I thought was a good decision is, even though he does have the Christmas magic, Santa is still very much killable.
Yes.
Like he can get injured, he gets beat up, he feels things. So he's not like some unstoppable juggernaut of holiday goodness. He's a normal.
He's a man.
He's a man.
With a gift.
Who could be killed. And so that, you know, much like John McClane, they did that in Die Hard where it's like, oh, this is just a dude. He's, you know, running on glass and his feet are cut. He's fucked up. They could kill him.
Right.
You know, you had that with Santa Claus. So it's like, even though you know he's getting out of this because he's fucking Santa.
Yeah.
There was still that air of like, oh, man, they can hurt him.
So and he, like you said, he's cracking heads. He's knocking knees backwards. He eventually ties these guys up and puts the rope in the wood chipper? The snowblower. And then it just chips him. Oh, it was so good. Then remember, he finds the ice skates and he puts the ice skates on his hands and he just starts slicing motherfuckers with ice skate hands. It was amazing.
Oh, my God.
I forgot. Oh, my God. It was so good. Oh, God. It is amazing. So meanwhile, Scrooge, John Leguizamo, he's the Scrooge. He's the head of the operation who's trying to steal the money, and he's trying to figure out who the Santa is, because they think it's just a real dude, a guy that the family has called in, and he uses nutcrackers as a form of torture. I don't remember what the guy's name, but the guy The one bad guy who's dressed like he's got the elf hat on.
Uh-huh.
He was hilarious throughout this. He was like ready to touch this guy's nuts to crack him.
Like, because they start out with a small nutcracker and they put the dude's finger in it.
Oh, and they break it. That was rough.
And then they're like, you know what? You can break his fingers all day. He's not going to say something. And besides, it's not a finger cracker. It's a nutcracker. And then he brings out like a big nutcracker and he tells the woman henchman to put his balls in it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I ain't touching his balls. And he's like, I've seen you scoop people's brains out.
She was like, I'll scoop his brains, but I'm not touching his balls.
And then, a homeboy in the back is like, I'll do it.
I like this guy.
He's down for whatever.
And during this sequence, because Trudy says, well, I've been talking to Santa, blah, blah, blah. So before his balls are smashed, he has to reveal to Trudy that Santa's not real.
Aww.
It's a sad moment. It's a rough moment here. And even the bad guys are like, ooh. And he's like, Santa's not real. So that's when Trudy ends up running off and she hides into the attic. Now, eventually throughout the movie, she decides to employ a little Home Alone tactics in order to keep the henchmen away from her, which was great.
They do this a lot in this movie particular, but it's like if you know it's called like Chekhov's gun. If you see a gun in a scene where they happen to like focus on a gun or focus on a thing, that's going to come into play later.
100%.
And they do that a lot in this movie. Like in Trudy's opening scene when she gets in the car with her mom and dad, she's like, oh, I watched Home Alone. I'm like, that's going to come into play.
Uh-huh.
And now it does.
And it did. And now she sets up these very obvious booby traps. Like there's a welcome mat that's got screws and nails and everything sticking up from it. That's right at the foot of the stairs going into the attic, the ladder going into the attic. And then one of the steps, it has a nail coming up from it. And the guy is like, oh, this is so obvious. But he doesn't see the board that's been cut. So he falls through. And when he does, the nail that's sticking up from the ladder, it goes up through his jaw. And we see it in his mouth.
Yeah, his mouth is open and yelling, and we can just see the nail through the bottom of his jaw. It is so fucking cringe.
Yeah, man. And then, you know, the other girl, the bad hench woman, goes around him. Bowling balls start coming at her, which are falling onto our guy, pushes him onto the mat full of the nails. And, all the stuff that he said was too obvious. He got hit by everything. Then at one point he's looking at a nail and a bowling ball comes and it pops the nail into his head.
God,
kills him that way. It was so good.
I love the people over the years that have come out and said, you know, in Home Alone, Kevin would have killed those people.
Right.
Like they would be dead. Yep. And, the makers of this movie were going, yeah, we know. And we're going to do that. These people are going to die.
They're all going to die. So that was a really great sequence. And then we see that our bad guys get into the vault. There is no money.
Oh, there's also one in the Home Alone bit that just, oh man, it hurt. It wasn't as bad as the nail through the bottom of the jaw. But when the female henchwoman, which side note, her look in the movie is a lot of female henchwomen have this look. The short, slick back blonde hair, heavy eyeshadow, good look.
Yeah.
But she goes up to the attic. She finds Trudy, but she steps in like crazy gorilla glue.
Yeah.
And so now she's glued to the floor.
I know where you're going.
And then she gets knocked down and her hair gets stuck in the glue. And when she pops herself back up and rips just rips a chunk of hair out of her head. I'm like, oh, yeah. God damn it.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of oof. Jeez. God.
There is a lot. You don't really look away, but you're like, big oof.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of those kind of owies in this movie.
Yes. So we find out that Trudy's dad, Jason, was going to steal the money. He found out about the money because apparently this money was like some kind of gift that's been hidden in some way, some with the government, you know, shit that rich people do.
Shady stuff.
They're hiding assets and shit. So Jason found out about it and he's, he was going to steal the money, and then he was going to run off with his family that night and reconnect as a family, right? Yep. And quit working for the company, be out of the family. And they hid the money in the nativity scene out front. It's hidden in the hay in the nativity scene. So now Santa's coming, and we're going to have a snowmobile chase. Except Santa's not on a snowmobile yet. He's got a fucking sled that he knows how to use at first.
A snowmobile chase, just like in Die Hard 2.
I got to rewatch Die Hard 2. I should have done that yesterday.
You really do.
I should. I will. I promise. Like, I've got it. It's on some streaming thing I have.
If you, after we wrap this up, go and watch Die Hard, you're going to go, Okay.
So eventually we lead to Santa and Scrooge, correct?
Yep.
They're together at like this abandoned cabin or torn down cabin on the property. And we're fighting, and we have a good fight until Scrooge finds the naughty list. Like, he's got a scroll that you open, and it automatically updates to whoever is in the room or whoever Santa wants to check on, and Scrooge is on the naughty list.
I need, when this movie comes out to stream or on digital, I need to buy it, because did you notice, like, when they open the scroll, and not only is the name on the naughty list, but it says why they're on the naughty list.
Like, one was he something about his best friend, and he murdered whatever. Like, they would pop up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I want to see
to pause it and read everything.
Like, when the kill squad shows up and it's revealed that they're all bad guys, mm-hmm. Santa opens his scroll and sees all the names of the kill squad pop up. Naughty, 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 naughty.
Yes.
And, like, all the different things that they've done. I'm like, I bet there's some gold in there.
Yes, absolutely. There's some hidden gold in there. So that is when Scrooge realizes that Santa is real. But he really fucking hates Christmas, because he had some things happen to him back in the day. So he's just going to kill Santa and the whole damn holiday. Which I'm like, I mean, I get your point. And he gets Santa in quite the bad spot. They're fighting on ice now. And Scrooge has, like, the ice boots or whatever the fuck you call. I don't know. What do you call them up there in North Dakota where it snows all the time? Did you ever have a pair of those little spike boots?
I was wondering how long it was going to take for you to bring that up and to be like that about it. Well, you know, it's this movie makes me think a lot about the snow and ice that I slipped on as a kid.
I bet there wasn't as much snow in this movie as there is in North Dakota, because it only blizzards there 364 days of the year.
I mean, there wasn't nearly enough snow in this movie compared to what North Dakota gets. So, I mean, but it wasn't North Dakota. It was like Connecticut. They don't get enough snow. They get way more up there, so.
So they're fighting on us. And we get Santa in a bad spot, right? But luckily, at this old torn down cabin, what's still on the property? The brick chimney.
Yeah, they got like a little brick fireplace out there.
Yeah. So luckily, Santa, all he has to do, which it didn't work in the movie earlier because some of his magic was gone, is Santa, his Christmas magic. Luckily, all he has to do is tap his nose, and he's sucked in through the chimney, either to the top or to the bottom, right? So he's got a hold of Scrooge, and you and I are, like, waiting for it. We're like, we're literally kids on Christmas. We're like, do the nose thing! He's going to take him up the chimney! We knew it. And then he just taps his nose, which allows him to kind of, like, become this gold streak of magic, but he's holding on to Scrooge, so he pulls his body through this brick chimney, which totally mangles him.
Oh.
It tears his body apart to where he's only holding like a torso when he comes out. It's so good and bloody. It's so fucking good. Because Scrooge don't turn into magic. He's just a man going up a chimney.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have the Christmas magic.
He doesn't. Oh, and it tears him. Oh my God! And we all cheered. We're like all, yeah, fucking Santa.
Like even the other people in the theater at this point.
The kids. Yeah. Yep. We're all cheering until boom, and then I cheer again because I didn't know what happened, and then and then boom, Santa has been shot.
Oh no.
Multiple times. And he falls hard from the chimney. Oh no. It's the leader of the kill squad. He's still alive. I forgot about him. Oh. Is this in Die Hard?
Yeah, I mean, that's an action, you know.
It's an action trope. Thing. So he is shot by the leader of the kill squad. I don't remember what happened to that guy, though. Does the family come?
Yeah, and shoot him? Gertrude shows up because they were trying to bring her on the snowmobile.
Yes.
She gets thrown off, grabs a gun. So she creeps up on him as he shoots Santa and then shoots him in the head.
Okay. I couldn't remember how that happened. I knew he died, but I couldn't remember who did it. Okay. So she does it. And then Santa is about to die. Because Santa can die in this movie.
It was getting heavy.
And it was. It was super sad. And he's laying there. And now the whole family has shown up. And they're sitting there. And he thanks Trudy for helping him, you know, because he got his Christmas love and his spirit back. This little girl brought this back, right? And he did something good. And then he dies. And it was very sad.
Yeah,
I will say.
I was like, are they really going to fucking end it like this?
I was hit a little hard and I was worried that was what they were going to do. But then Trudy says, well, Santa, he's real. I believe in him. And you know what? And the dad's like, you know what? I do. I believe in him too. He must be Santa. He helped us, blah, blah, blah. So the whole family all says how they believe in Santa.
All these shitty fucking people.
These shitty motherfuckers. Even the social media content creator, Gertrude. And then all of a sudden, boom, Santa comes back because it's Christmas magic, but we don't know exactly how it works. And yeah. They didn't need to explain it.
No, Jason even says, dude, you are dead. Yeah, I don't know how it works.
I don't know. He was just like, I don't know how it works. He was like, you died.
Yeah.
I do love how he was like, you died. And so he's alive. He's fine. The reindeer come back. And I love him with the reindeer. Like he's all like one of them shit on top of the house. And he was like, it's unprofessional. And then he's scolding them like, you know, once the work starts, you guys run away and make me do everything. It was great.
Turns out they went all the way back to the North Pole just to get his extra sack of presents for
his,
the kids.
Bag got thrown in the fire. So they got his extra bag. And then Mrs. Claus sends a note attached to Skull Crusher, the actual Skull Crusher hammer, and says, you might need this. And then Santa gets on his sleigh and he goes about his merry way.
Because he's got work to do. It's Christmas Eve.
It's still Christmas Eve. I don't know how many hours we spend at this house, but he's got some toys to deliver.
He's going to have a long night ahead of him.
And then that is the end of the movie.
That is. Well, there it is. We do get one little post-credits, like a mid-credits stinger.
We do, and I don't remember anything about it.
It's one of the dead henchmen is like face down in the snow,
mm-hmm.
and Gertrude is on his social media, like in front of the dead dude, and he's like, he went from like this douchebag, fucking just yuck human being, and now he's just like, hey, yo, what's up, guys? Christmas spirit, you gotta believe in the goodness of the holiday season. I'm here with this dead guy. Hey, be better.
That's right, be better.
Hashtag blessed.
Which murdered me, because how many times do you say, be better?
Right. I was like, oh, that was like that.
Was good.
He went from like, I really wanted that kid to get shot this whole movie to, okay, you're all right.
I mean, I still wanted him to get shot. Don't worry.
I wouldn't.
He was still annoying.
I wouldn't mourn his death at all. but now I'm like, okay. He was
more tolerable.
You can repent.
Yeah.
Yes. But that was one more round of applause for Violent Night.
Dude, it was amazing. It was fucking amazing.
We got, between the backstory, the little sliver of backstory that we got as to what Santa used to be.
Mm-hmm.
He mentions Mrs. Claus a couple times. We never see her.
No.
But we're alluded to her. He mentions at one point, he's like, all I want to do is get home to Mrs. Claus. I just want to see her one more time.
Yeah.
You know, and then we get the little note from Mrs. Claus, mm-hmm. with Skull Crusher. So they have clearly laid the groundwork for another potential movie.
Oh my God.
If they do it, I hope they do it well.
I know.
Because it's almost a Christmas miracle that this movie is as good as it is.
Right.
Because, I mean, they could have made so many different choices and this movie would have been dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
But they nailed every choice.
Yep.
I don't know if they can capture that lightning in a bottle again, but holy fuck do I want them to try.
I mean, Christmas magic. It could happen again.
How did this sequel work? I don't know. Just Christmas magic.
It's just Christmas magic.
They might make 12 of these movies.
Oh,
I mean, Die Hard stopped being good after the third one. If we can get two more Violent Nights that are good,
I'd be happy with it.
We got to suffer through like what did they make, like 5-6 Die Hards?
God damn it. Yeah, it was so good.
So good.
I can't wait to buy it on DVD. Like, I never buy movies on DVD anymore. I can't wait to buy it on DVD and it be mine.
This will be a purchase.
Yeah.
100%.
Uh-huh.
I went in with, I don't want to say like low to midland expectations. I wanted this to be good.
Yeah.
And it exceeded every one of those expectations, and it gave me an absolute banger.
Yeah, I was excited about it, but I was worried it wasn't going to be as good as I hoped it would.
Yeah.
I just was worried about it because I feel like nowadays they never live up to how you want them to anymore. So I had reservations as well.
Now, this actually came in second place at the box office this weekend. It made almost $12 million.
That's pretty good.
Surprisingly, yeah.
Right. For a movie like that, I would feel like.
Yeah, it's not a big franchise. It's not an existing IP. It, it lost to Black Panther. Wakanda Forever is still number one.
Mm-hmm.
But still, $12 million is pretty good. But this could lead to an interesting discussion, and this discussion has happened a lot amongst many people, you know. Could this movie have been just a straight to streaming, like straight to HBO or straight to something like that? The fact it did $12 million, I think, is pretty good. I'm not sure what the budget is, but people seem to think that is decent for a movie like Violent Night, an R-rated holiday flick, which...
Well, and I would assume also now with the... Like, so much has changed with theaters since the pandemic. Like, I don't feel like it's... Are we back up to speed like we were with theaters and movie going?
I mean, like before? For the most part, like there's not any restrictions on in most places that I'm aware of.
But I mean, like, are people like just going to the movies again? Like, do people just want to go to the movies again, or have they gotten out of that, do you think?
I mean, it's an interesting.
So it took $20 million to make, and currently it had box office right now. It says $20.3 million.
Oh, shit.
And the budget was $20 million.
There you go.
I think. That's what it says currently.
Well, and it's got to, you know, I'm sure it's going to have an overseas run.
Sure.
And then it's going to, you know, because really a digital is, you get a movie that drops in theaters that's not a blockbuster, not a big Hollywood, like franchise, like a Marvel movie, Star Wars, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a limited theater run, you know, like 45 days and it's already on streaming. That's kind of what's the standard is during the pandemic. So if this movie was available in theaters and on streaming at the same time, which would you have done?
Well, I probably would have streamed it.
Same.
Yeah.
Like, I loved the theatrical experience for this one.
Right.
But I totally would have stayed at home and watched this.
Yeah.
In fact, outside of a big, huge event movie like a Marvel movie, mm-hmm. I don't want to go to the theater.
Right.
Like, I don't care anymore.
Well, that was kind of my point. Like, I just feel like people are that way now.
But then you flip that around and Top Gun Maverick made over $1 billion this year.
Right.
And, you know, that was a movie that you needed to see in the theater. Like, the IMAX experience was incredible. It was made for IMAX, you know, like to give you that experience. I think a movie like Violent Night would have been fine watching it at home.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you didn't necessarily need to. There was nothing that needed to be seen on a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
But
other than the group experience.
Other than
this
the group experience.
Yep. This is a group movie.
100%.
Also, I'm going to retract my statement because I'm reading here and it says $11.8 million.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So I think you're right. I think whatever that other one was wrong.
That's all right.
Just trying to do research.
Still made some money. Still made some money.
It's decent. It's decent.
I think it's done well enough to at least be in, you know, I think good word of mouth will give this movie some legs if it comes out. Because even if it fails in the theater, or quote unquote fails in the theater.
Right.
Once it hits a streaming or once it hits digital and those numbers go up, I think we could possibly see some talks of a sequel for this one.
Also, it's currently at a 70 on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's it?
Which is bullshit.
That is bullshit.
That's bull fucking shit.
Rotten Tomatoes, you don't know a goddamn.
I can't judge anything by Rotten Tomatoes anymore. Because sometimes I look at that, and especially on the movies we watch, like I'll go and look at that afterwards, and I'm like, this does not represent my experience.
No.
With this movie.
Or you get the movies that have such a wildly different... Now, is the Rotten Tomatoes, is it the critic score or the audience score?
Let me go look again, because I don't remember what I just read.
Because I was going to say those two numbers are so vastly different on a lot of movies.
That's very true.
Where you'll get a movie that the critics loved and the audience has hated and vice versa.
La da da, where's the Rotten Tomatoes? Ah! Here we go. Oh, yeah. Well, the tomato meter, is that the critics?
That's the critics.
That's the critics. It's at 70%. The audience score is 89.
There it is.
There it is. There it is. I only saw the 70.
We still got to get that number up into a 90.
It should be in the 90s.
It should be in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. But at one point, I did look at it. It was in the 50s. But that was before we went and saw it. And I think then probably it went up and up and up.
Hmm.
Obviously.
There was
probably one asshole who didn't hate it and felt enough to go to the keyboard. I hate this movie. Nobody, that candy cane couldn't have been strong enough to stab people in their neck. This is unbelievable.
Bullshit.
Rah, 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 rah. I can't believe a girl would be a henchman. One star. Of course, the main kid in the movie had to be a girl.
Yep.
Yep.
That, I mean,
and she wasn't white.
That's a very accurate description of the internet.
Yeah. It was probably that one guy, and then we got more.
Yeah, you have embodied the internet. Kudos. Top marks. There is a content creator on TikTok.
God damn it. I hate that shit. It's just a stupid name.
That I am I'll watch his reviews and stuff. He leans a little more towards the art house stuff, like that's kind of his jam.
Mm-hmm.
But he fucking loved Violent Night, and he called it, I can't take credit for this, but it is fucking perfect. Like, he starts his video, he's like, y'all, I love this movie. It is the greatest Christmas movie of all time. I am calling it Citizen Candy Cane.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. That's
I like
good.
That.
That's good content that he created.
That is good content that he happened to create.
Yeah. Citizen Candy Cane. And it's 100% accurate. This is Citizen Candy Cane.
You know, I've never seen Citizen Kane.
No?
No.
I don't get the hype. I don't get it.
Okay.
I understand it. But, you know, because they'll show that in film schools and people have had to write essays.
I've heard people talk about it all the time.
Right. It's one of those things that at the time... Sure, it might have been the greatest movie of all time, but it's just like, okay.
It doesn't have to keep that title throughout the years.
No.
Like, maybe the greatest movie of an era.
Right.
But not of all time.
It's this movie inspired this movie, inspired this movie, and like we go down and down and down. It's like, okay, like...
They're like the Black Sabbath of movies.
Yeah. Like, I...
Of metal.
Like, come on now. Don't be talking shit about Black Sabbath.
No. That's not what I meant. I just mean like the thing that inspired every other band.
Okay.
That's how I meant it. I'm not shitting on... Hold on. Whoa. Not shitting on Black Sabbath. Okay. I just meant like it's like the band. Like even though they're far from what metal is today, it's like they were the band.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I understand what you're saying now.
Ooh.
All right. So
I didn't explain it well.
It's all good. It's all good.
Shit.
But what I will say is, like, so I understand, you know, why this movie is considered such like a benchmark in cinema, but the people but the people that not only agree with that statement, but then also say that no movie has ever been better. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
You watched Endgame?
Right? You see Captain America lift Thor's hammer? Oh! Fuck a rosebud.
Did you see when Falcon walked through the portal? Come on.
On your left.
On your left. Yeah, that's what it was. On your left.
Goosebumps. Jesus, I just got goosebumps right now. Ah! Holy shit. Check out our review of Avengers Endgame at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
You should do it.
Ding.
I forgot. Let's do that again. Rewind it again. On your left.
You should check out our review of Avengers Endgame at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Ding.
There you go. Uninterrupted ding.
In fact, uninterrupted ding. Sorry, I can't hang out. Me and the old lady are having some uninterrupted ding.
That sounds foul.
Oh my goodness.
That sounds something. I'm gone. My brain don't work.
I was absolutely glowing when we left the theater.
We were happy kids.
For this movie. It was so good.
Yeah. We were literally like two children with smiles on our faces. We were like, this was great. This was awesome.
So apparently, all I need to get into the holiday spirit is some ultraviolence.
We just need a lot of death.
Yep. I need good action bits. I need some
death and violence.
Some David Harbour and some machine guns.
Yeah.
Get you some of that David Harbour.
I love him.
He is awesome.
I find him so hot.
I love that, and this has happened a few times within the last like decade, where a character actor has been at the game for a long fucking time and finally finds success late in his career.
Yeah.
Like John Hamm did that. Like he wasn't successful until he was 40.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you can go back now, and I'll even do this. Well, I'll be rewatching a movie I haven't seen in like 5-10 years or whatever, and David Harbour is in it as like a random henchman.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh shit.
Yep.
What's up, Hopper?
Oh, Hop.
Now he's gonna be Santa.
He can be whatever he wants to be.
You know what? He was actually Hellboy in the Hellboy remake.
Yeah.
Which got totally shit on.
That movie didn't do very well.
It didn't do well at all. Which is unfortunate because I thought he made a great Hellboy. Because
Ron Perlman was the guy who played him first, right?
Yep. Yeah. And Hellboy is considered, like, it's held in very high regard. And when they made a third Hellboy, and Ron Perlman wasn't attached, the internet already wasn't on board.
Right.
But the creator of the comic was in line to be like more in touch with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
David Harbour as Hellboy. I thought this could be cool. I like David Harbour. The movie itself, it was fucking Neil Marshall, our boy Neil Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
Did it. Sort of. Because that the whole backstory of that movie is that the studio fucked with it hard to the point where Neil Marshall like tried to get his name off of it. The opening sequence of that movie is in fucking credible.
Mm-hmm.
And if it would have kept that energy, it might have been one of the greatest comic book movies of all time.
No shit.
But then it just all kind of fell apart and it wasn't all that great.
Mm-hmm.
Still decent, like still good. And like it gets far more hate than it deserves.
Okay.
But like David Harbour fucking killed it. Like he took a character that was made iconic because of another actor and he stepped into the role and he was as good.
Oh, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Good for our boy.
And now he's in the MCU. He's Red Guardian. He's going to be coming back in the Thunderbolts movie in a couple years.
Was he good in that role?
He was real good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed him a lot. So the character he played is Red Guardian. He's basically the Russian version of Captain America. And so he always like holds himself in comparison to Captain America.
Okay.
And he like basically just talks bullshit. He's like, I beat Captain America in arm wrestling and
That's fantastic.
Super good.
Okay.
Yeah. Liked him.
Mm. We should have a David Harbour podcast.
Okay. it's just going to be a podcast of, anyway, David Harbour. I was like, okay, Leanne, can we talk about the merits of this film? No.
No.
I want to talk about.
Let's talk about his shoulders.
I like buff David Harbour. I like pudgy David Harbour. Well, I really liked
Dad
him in
bond,
Hellboy. In Hellboy,
Santa
he had. No, Jack, we're not talking about Hellboy today. We're talking about.
Do you remember the tattoos from Violent Night? I even like that.
I do, but we're not even talking about that movie today.
Doesn't matter. That's what I'm talking about today.
Oh.
Anyway.
It is good.
That was Violent Night, and it was fucking amazing.
Give Violent Night some stars, would you?
I am going to give Violent Night 5 skull crushers out of 5.
Oh, shit.
I fucking loved it.
Oh, a perfect review.
I'm giving it a 5-star review.
My God.
It was
God.
Fun. We enjoyed it. It was a fun theater experience on top of that because we had a blast. And it's a new tradition.
Yeah.
So, and I can't wait to buy it. So to me, that's a 5 banger.
Okay. All right. I will give it 4.75.
Okay.
Silent Nights out of Holy Nights. I don't know how that,
that
works.
Does,
it's Christmas magic.
No one really knows how it works.
It just does. Yeah.
That's solid.
Easily a 4.75. The only critique that I had of this movie that took me out of it for even just a minute was there's about a 15-minute gap between action bits where we start to get some of the backstory, where we get Santa on the walkie-talkie with Trudy talking about his backstory, which was very much like the Die Hard conversation between John McClane and Powell when he's on the walkie, whatever. But that was like a slow 10-15 minutes to put in the middle of the movie.
We slowed it down a little bit. We'd had a lot of action and then we slowed it down just a tad.
And then I wasn't expecting the Celtic warrior backstory and I'm
right.
like, okay.
And then I was like, I don't know anything about Santa Claus. Where's right? he from?
Yeah.
What is his legend?
Still
not sure. Cause I didn't pick up a book.
I guess one of those you can make it whatever you want because Christmas magic.
Christmas magic. He's from anywhere and everywhere.
But that was about the only criticism I had of the movie.
It slowed a bit there.
Had they not put that in there, I mean this could have easily been a 5 banger for me as well. But yeah, 4.75. That's still solid. That's still solid.
That's a good movie.
We highly encourage you if you like what we've said about the last 130 fucking movies we've watched and reviewed and chatted about. If you don't like my opinion, but you like Leanne's, vice versa, we're in unison on this one. Holy shit, this movie is good. We could not recommend this movie enough.
I am ready to pay money I don't have to go watch it again. Seriously, it's that good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I want to eat today or do I want to see Violent Night again? I could lose some weight.
I could just eat at the movie theater.
Well, that's not saving money.
I know. Like it's a terrible cycle. It's why I'm in debt.
Small popcorn, Reese's Pieces, and a large cherry Coke for $17.
Dude, I had a small popcorn and a small Sprite for $11.
And well,
was dumb. That's stupid.
Well, you were in line ordering that. I was looking at the differences in price between a small and a large. I'm like, it's 40 fucking cents difference.
Well, you could have just said something to me about it.
You'd already ordered.
I don't believe that.
That's Christmas magic.
Tapping my nose.
So we will be back next week to keep this holiday cheer a ho-ho-hoing. And we will talk about the movie.
That's what I do in my off time.
That we. And how do you not have any money?
Oh, am I supposed to charge?
You dumb whore.
ka-ching.
we'll talk about the movie that we were going to talk about today.
Yes. We're
going to
get back on track.
We'll get back to that one. And then, I don't know, maybe next week we'll just decide, the week after that, we'll just be like, you know what? Christmas is done and played out. Let's talk about Halloween movies again. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
We can do whatever we want because we're content creators.
We are. Uh-huh. And you should follow our content that we create on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
At HSV Home Video.
And also, while you're doing that, give a follow to our show sponsor, Underboss Photography, _photography. Michael going to take some festive-ass photos.
Yeah, is he going to create that festive content?
He is going to create so much content.
Content out the ass.
Mm-hmm. Content for days. Is it just the word content, or is it the creator on the end of it? Why do you hate this so much?
I think I've just heard it so much, and in reference to people I can't stand. So I think that's why I hate content creators. Also, I don't feel like that should be, like, if you answer, what's your job? And you're like, I'm a content creator. I immediately hate you. I don't know why. I just,
you are,
I hate
literally
it.
A content creator.
I
in your day job, you, all you do all day long is create content.
Yeah, but I don't call it that. I don't call it that. I just,
but it's what you are.
But it doesn't matter. I just don't like the term.
I don't identify as a content creator.
And in a time where I'm allowed to identify how I see fit, I don't see that one fit.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just hate it. I think I get tired of hearing young people. You know what it is?
Young people.
You want to get what it is? It's young people who are making way more money than me who bust my ass every day. That's what it is. These little young whippersnappers come in here. They don't know anything about real life or hardship. And they walk in and they're like, I am a content creator and I made $100,000 last month. I'm just salty.
I bet you could make that content creator money if you got in the TikTok. 100%. Like, I'm not even saying that to be funny.
I know you're not.
Yeah.
And I won't do it. I'm a lady of principle.
I'm a dude that wants money. So I'm a creator.
Then do it.
I am.
Then do it.
I'm working
create
on it.
Create that content.
It would be better if
you do it and you show me how you can do it and then I'll do it. Bitch.
All you have to do is follow Huntsville Home Video on TikTok and you can see all the content I've created.
Nope.
There it is. And there it is. Would you? Okay. Gun to your
God
head.
Damn it.
You have to take one of the following titles: content creator or influencer. Or do you just pull the trigger?
I pull the trigger. No, I'm not long for this world anyway. I'm like, shoot me, bro. What the fuck do I care?
I'll take content creator.
Nobody's going to give you any ransom for me. Just fucking shoot me.
No.
Put me out of my misery. If I have to content create one more time, I'm going to pull the trigger myself.
Well, when you go back to your day job tomorrow creating content for our radio stations.
I hate you.
Just know that we will be back next week, my friends, about A Christmas Story. Not even A Christmas Story 2, because there's already been one.
That's what I've been calling it this whole time. Not the movie I watched.
No.
No.
Did you watch the wrong movie?
No.
Okay. We'll find out.
I'm ahead of time.
We'll find out next week on Huntsville Home Video. So until then, my friends, be kind. And rewind. I mean, Santa Claus was creating content out of that sack. Santa Claus is a content creator.
Santa can create whatever content he wants.
So why can't we?
Shut the thing off. I'm done with this.